Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Giants sure to get their first win, not so fast. We talked about the offense last week not being sustainable. You saw that last night in what was an all too familiar effort from the New York Giants.
Honestly, this is just ridiculous what we have to sit through and watch this nonsense. It really is embarrassing, and it's even worse when it's national, when there's a national televised game and there's 30,000 Chiefs fans and they take over the joint, and this is not me calling out Giant fans. I don't blame you. There's really not a whole lot to cheer about. It is just a listless, pathetic, sad erosion of a once proud franchise. And, you know, and listen, we all know that it's going to eventually turn into Dart. You and I, we're going to have the conversation. But, like, this notion that Jackson Dart is the golden ticket for a head coach who hasn't shown really anything for years is to me, it's almost laughable. Like, what do the Giants do well? Can somebody tell me what they do well? I mean, this is now multiple times where the kicker's jacked up. Even the most basic thing, Sal.
Yeah.
Like, you watch this team and you're like, my God, it's a combination of boring and embarrassing, and it's just awful, and the Giant fan deserves so much better. It is a joke what the Giants are.
Did Malik Nabers play last night?
It's ridiculous. They couldn't even target him.
Okay, but so this is the point that we go back to. We're not going to keep having the same conversations every week. Like, I can't do it. You can't do it. We'll talk about something else and make it more
entertaining. I'm already at my wit's end with this.
Yeah.
I think everybody is.
I get it. Nobody wants to watch that nonsense. Like, outside of Scadaboo, who was at least fun to watch.
Yeah.
But even with that, like, come on, man. You got to be able to score more points or build off of what they did in week two. We knew it was not sustainable, certainly not to that level. But could they build a little bit off of it? They couldn't. Russell Wilson was bad. The offense overall is bad. The defense is not as good as it's supposed to be. Abdul Carter can't make big plays the way like, why they're trying to play him inside to me makes no sense. And then when he does get free, he's not being able to make the plays. So, I mean, 3 weeks.
It's done nothing.
3 weeks in.
It's quiet.
Like, something's got to give here. I mean, something's got to give for the New York Football Giants. What the hell is going on here? And that does lead us to the Jackson Dart conversation. Like, we all, and this is a conversation that we had in the offseason, and it does predate Dable with the Giants' follies and drafting this guy and that guy when they should. And then you look elsewhere with Barkley and Daniel Jones, and we'll get to him later on. But, like, all these things add up to what has been an unmitigated disaster for the Giants for years, which leads to the final salvo of this regime, and it's something we discussed last year when they decided to keep Shane and Dable. Well, what happens if they draft a young quarterback and you have this regime who doesn't get off to a good start? Shocking! Here we are, 3 weeks in, the Giants are 0-3. What a shock! What a shock! And now it's going to be, and it has been for the most part, all about Jackson Dart, who had an exciting preseason. But not only is it about Dart, BT, it's about, will Dart come in whenever he does, and then do enough with Brian Dable and Joe Shane to justify keeping this together? Otherwise, you have a different problem next year.
Yep.
With a rookie quarterback or young quarterback that this regime drafted,
yeah,
that's going to be taken over by, at the very least, a new head coach.
Yeah. Well, think about this. Organizations that are in a bad spot, they complicate everything. Like, they really do. I mean, when there's a chance for a clean break and a new identity and a new philosophy, you have to take it. And you know, listen, the Giants decided to bring back Brian Daboll, bring back Joe Shane, when the evidence was overwhelmingly in the other direction. And, like, I really hate that we have to have this conversation. You're right, and we can't do this every single week. I mean, who the hell wants to sit here and have 17 weeks of fire Daboll, get rid of Shane, play Jackson Dart? But, I mean, I really don't know what else there is to grasp that. Like, I wish they were. Yeah, I mean, we could take it through the sequence at the goal line when Russell Wilson's throwing the ball in the tunnel, then throwing the ball off the goal post, and then doing some ridiculous benign 4-yard run. What a horrible play call that was. We can talk about that. We can talk about how Patrick Mahomes rips the football away from Okereke with a chance for the Giants to steal something. Of course we could talk about that. But does it really, really matter at the end of the day? I don't think that it does. Because the Giants, as Sal just said, and we have had the conversation a million times, we warned you when you decided to bring back Daboll, you've got a situation now that is 9 levels extra complicated. If he's fired, does the new guy want Dart? If he's fired, does Shane stay? It is just an unmitigated mess.
But now before we get there, which is maybe the inevitable conclusion to this season, we need to see what Jackson Dart is. So, and then like the conversation about, well, when should they start him? I was always of the belief of it's not about the play of Russell Wilson. I'm still about that. Even though they were talking about it on the broadcast last night, like just because Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards in week 2 doesn't mean, well, now you keep Jackson Dart at bay. And now because Russell Wilson looked awful last night, it's, oh, well, let's go with Jackson Dart. What is the primary goal for the New York Football Giants this year? They foolishly thought they had a team that could win some games. Wrong. You're DOA at 0-3. It's over. Not to mention the schedule, but like it's over. So they thought that they could try to do both. Win some football games with a veteran quarterback while developing your younger player. Is their goal to try to win some games and become relevant and give the fans some excitement now before this thing gets out of control? If it is, then you got to turn the keys over to Jackson Dart. If it's just about developing Jackson Dart, then I have two questions for you. Well, number one, do you trust Daboll and Shane to know when he's ready or when he's not? And number two, what is the best way to develop him? I don't have the answers for that. I would always say sit longer than not.
Yeah.
I'm not forcing him in just to try to win a ball game. But when you watch him play, like even last night when they used him, I thought it was good to use him, and the Giants were moving. They took him off the field, and that was it.
I know.
It stopped.
I know.
Like, I would have just kept at least ride him out for the rest of that drive.
Even that doesn't seem like they have a real plan. It's like they're just kind of reacting. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful because I know that they do have a plan. It's just not a good one. But it's not like they just go into the game and say, eh, maybe we'll play Dart. Eh, maybe we won't play Dart.
No, they know.
They've got it mapped out. Again, that's why I'm not trying to be unfair to the staff here. But, yeah, it just seems a little disjointed, like when they put him in, even when they wedged him in the first time.
Yeah, that made no sense.
And we're sitting there saying that's just a very, you know, Russell Wilson's bold and moving the football, and the Giants have a good flow on offense, and they put Jackson Dart in at the worst time.
Let me ask you it this way. Just you and I having a conversation here. Who do you think gives the Giants the best chance to move the football consistently?
I think it's going to be Dart because of his legs.
Me too. Now, that doesn't mean that I go to him right now, mm-hmm. but I think it's clear that, you know, last night I was rooting for the Chiefs because I picked the Chiefs to win or whatever. From my perspective, just to give you a different perspective for a second, anti-Giants in this particular game, when Dart was in and they were moving the football, as somebody was rooting for the Chiefs in that spot, I wanted to see Dart off the field. Which means that he was the right guy to keep on the field because the way the Giants were moving the ball and being the dual threat that he is. Like, at some point, he's going to start throwing the ball, and then we'll really see. Now, we don't know what Jackson Dart is. He could turn out to be a bust. He could turn out to be a Hall of Famer. You have no idea. My feeling, though, is that he's going to give them a better chance to move the football consistently. There are many more areas of the game that, you know, special teams have been a disaster for the Giants. Can't even get a healthy kicker here.
It's really amazing.
I mean, defense. Come on. If Dart does go out there and score, like, he can't score more points than Russell Wilson did a week ago, and they still lost the game. So that doesn't mean that they're going to win more games. I'm just saying that I would feel better about the offense being potentially more consistent with the dual threat read option offense of Jackson Dart.
So would I. But, you know, I think the fear here, Sal, right. This to me, this is the most dangerous part of the situation. is anything that's going to be done with Dart and the insertion of Dart, which is inevitable. We're just having the discussion when. It can't be to placate fans. It can't be to change the tone in the stadium, to turn the anger into cheers. You can't do that. Now, that I'm not saying that it won't change the tone if he comes in and plays well, but the motivation can't be to just shut the Giant fan up and save your own ass, because that could destroy the kid.
Well, that's kind of the point. So, okay, while we could acknowledge that maybe their offense might be more consistent, certainly more exciting, just the new toy, unleash him, let's see what he's got. We need to evaluate him and Dable, and that's it for Dable once and for all. However, is that the best way to develop him? Boldy said it with us a couple of weeks ago. Hey, why are we waiting? Let's go see what he can do. You look around the league, not just this year, I'm talking about historically, like rookie quarterbacks can play and have some success. So there is no right or wrong, definitive black or white answer. Each individual, each system, each circumstance is different. For me, I would wait as long as I could. The season is lost. We know that. So it's not then just about trying to move the football consistently and give the fans a little bit of excitement. That will happen sooner than later. I want to make sure that when I do bring Jackson Dart in, he's 1,000% ready to take over. Now, do you ever really know until it's your team?
No, but you have a sense of how he absorbs things in the building. You have a sense of how his teammates react to him. You can give yourself a good chance to, before you roll him out there, to know if he's kind of ready. And then listen, obviously the speed is different and the complexity of the game is very different. So you can't 100% determine if he's fully ready. But from a maturity perspective, you have a pretty good sense of, and I do think he's kind of ready, but I still wouldn't throw him out there. I'll tell you what, here's a curveball. I'd probably throw Jameis out there for a game or two.
Yeah.
I really would. I mean, that sequence.
But then that's about Russell Wilson.
Wilson, that sequence. That may have been the worst quarterbacking sequence in the history of football.
I know, but dude, Jameis.
That was disgraceful.
Jameis is a pick machine. I know that, but he threw for 450 yards last week. Like, I'm just saying that there are ups and downs that we got to live with. He was awful last night. Like, not even throwing the ball and not even giving your team a chance.
No.
Like, what are you doing throwing the camera well or whatever it may be?
I know. Into the tunnel. Then he hits the crossbar. Right. I mean, it was just embarrassingly bad.
Yeah, I get it. And look, I want to get back to what I felt was my core belief of when to turn the thing over. Whether it's going to be against the Niners in week 9, whether it would be around the bye week. I don't think that they could last that long now with the way that things have gone here. But even, I certainly wouldn't start Dart this week going against the Chargers.
No, what about the Saints?
And I probably wouldn't do it then. Now, assuming that, let's say they lose to the Chargers, I mean.
What an assumption.
Well, I mean, who knows?
Lay the points. I don't even know what they are. Lay them.
Anything could happen, but you have to based on common sense. By the way, both the Jets and Giants could have had Harbaugh. I remember saying
Well,
for
we
years,
talked about that.
Predating us, 100%. Like, that's the difference that a coach makes. So when you sit here and wonder why neither team has a win and why they've been flailing all over themselves trying to figure out a head coach, because you didn't want to hire the right guy who could have been had. Harbaugh wanted the job. You didn't want to hire him. And look what he's done already in 2 years with the job. Like, it's just mind-numbingly stupid to go keep hiring young guys, the unknown commodities here in New York, and it just continues to fail. Anyway, I'm not even so sure that I would do it before the Eagles get, like, if you do it with the Saints, now you're turning it over to him ahead of 2 of 3 matchups with the Eagles, and the one in between is at Denver, which is not going to be. I would probably wait to week 9, regardless of what happens with Russell Wilson or the results to go to Jackson.
Look at where we're at.
That's bad, dude.
Look at where we are.
Yeah.
And
we'll get to the Jets.
Football is just miserable.
If you watch the locals, BT and Sal on the Fan or friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Patrick is in Melville starting us off. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. How you doing? So,
what's up?
You know, I think all Giant fans, including myself, basically got duped by the preseason. We actually thought that this team was a base fundamentally good team. Now, before the season, we all looked at the schedule and were like, yeah, they're going to be 1-7, 1-8 in the first 9 games, and that's exactly how it's going to turn out. Now, I just think we just start Dart because the reason why, it's not even because of Russell Wilson, it's just a question of, we know the inevitable. We might as well let the kid take his lumps and actually see what he has and just give him as much
runway
as possible.
No, Patrick, hold on. Pat, that's the wrong mentality. Now, if you want to play him, I respect that. And I know you're not alone, but when you say, like, that's cavalier, let him take his lumps and figure it out. when you take your lumps and they're too big of lumps and it's the wrong situation, the damage could be irreparable.
You
have to factor this in, guys.
Yeah, you risk ruining him. Now, again, we don't know. None of us. Well, I'm talking about me, you, callers, listeners. We don't know. I don't even know if the Giants themselves know. And that's even the scariest thing. Like, we're at a spot now. We got to trust Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. This is not year two where it's like, okay, well, we'll trust them to fire the bullet when they know it's right time to go with Jackson Dart. Dude, they're fighting for survival here. At the very least, Brian Daboll is. You know, remember, because last year we heard that there was thought about keeping Shane and getting rid of Daboll, which is the only reason why I'm not tying them together, which, by the way, I also think is another mistake on top of it, letting Joe Shane pick a head coach. It's a mess every which way possible. However, you can't just say, well, throw him in the wolves, see what he's got. We've seen many quarterbacks before fail that way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
That's why I'm not doing that, regardless of how ugly it gets with Russell Wilson, with Jameis, with the fans yelling for Dart. I'm not doing it, if I'm the Giants, until I know that he's coming out there and putting him in the best position to succeed.
I'm with you. You know, now, when that date is, when that week is, it's obviously fluid. And you know, we've given you several examples of when we think it would be a good fit to do it. But, you know, this just can't be a Hail Mary to shut everybody up. That's what really worries me. And again, it can't just be, I'm bored, I can't watch this anymore. And by the way, I get it. We get it. We understand it. It is just miserable watching this. Both of these teams, they are just garbage. It's unacceptably bad. And it's been bad for so long. We feel you. We know it. But you can't just throw them out there just to pass the time to make it more exciting. Because if you do that, the future could be bleak as well if you destroy the kid.
John is calling from Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
God, John.
I mean, it's like Groundhog Day. Another putrid offensive performance. The defensive part, I mean, the defense is all right. It wasn't terrible, holding the 22 points. But it's just like deja vu all over again. There is no trust in this regime. And to your point, I don't trust them to put Dart out there. They're going to ruin the kid. There's been no creativity on the offense. I don't care what quarterback you put out there. And then you look at the whole Daniel Jones situation. I hate to bring this up, but now he's got a similar situation of what he was with the Giants, where he had a great running back. You know, the offensive line wasn't great. But look what he's doing compared to what he didn't do in New York.
Yeah.
It's the coach's fault.
But then,
I don't trust them to put Dart out there. Plain and simple. I know it has to happen. We have to see what this kid is made of at some point, but this regime has got to go. It's over at this point.
Think about what you're saying, John. I think you're onto something. Thank you for the call. It's not about the quarterback. Like, right now, we're making it about Jackson Dart because we're excited about it. That's how it was years ago with Daniel Jones. And we've seen Daniel Jones have some success, but obviously not nearly enough. Mm. And now look at what he's doing in three games with the Indianapolis Colts. So it's clearly not just about the quarterback. It's clearly not about Saquon Barkley and not building around a running back. Like, there are issues here that the Giants have inherently that are problematic. They scored, like, Jackson Dart, if he were on the offense, would not have scored as many points as Russell Wilson did a week ago in Dallas. He can't do those things. Now, he would have done it differently, more sustainable, sure. But they still lost that game. So, obviously, it's not. I know we're going to talk about Dart, and that's what it seems like it's all about. It's only because that's the last line of hope that could be tangible. But in reality, it's much, much bigger and deeper than just the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's the easiest part of the discussion. Hey, when should Dart play? Let's watch the kid. Put him up, come on, put him in, let's go. The deeper, tougher, but more accurate part of the conversation is all the other things. When you lift up the hood of the New York Giants, it has been a decade plus of bad drafts, bad hires, poor player development, not enough either, winning players and all in attitude. If you could do it wrong, they've done it wrong.
Okay. Now, when we come back, and we'll continue with the calls here, I understand there's going to be an overwhelmingly negative Monday. Rightfully so. Like, we just gotten used to it with the Jets and Giants and all that stuff, and we'll get into the Jets in a little bit. I am, though, going to paint the positive side, because there is still a possibility.
For the Giants?
Correct. Dart could come in and change everything. Like, once you make that, there is that possibility where it's not just, okay, well, let's just bring him out there and see what can happen and throw him to the wolves and take his lumps. What if, let's just say that they did decide to do it this week. I wouldn't think that they're going to. I said I would not. I know you would not, BT.
No, not yet.
Let's just say that, well, now again, this is a different picture. I want to be positive here, but let's just say like ownership gets involved. Or, like, you don't want that either. You want it to be a Shane and Dable decision and do the right thing. And when they want to, right or wrong, those are the guys you hired. Let them make their decision. But let's just say that they want to do it this week ahead of the Chargers game. Crowd is going to be energized. Fan base will be totally energized. Dart is ready for the opportunity, at least in his mind. Like, he's excited for it. He's got the right attitude and mentality and the confidence. And what if he goes out there and the RPO is working and clicking, and all of a sudden they beat the Chargers? Think about the energy, the shift in energy. Like, that is a realistic possibility. Think about the shift in energy from a fan base that has been beaten down forever. Now, all of a sudden, with that move, and that's the I don't want to say risk. Maybe that's the reward of trying to make that decision early. Yeah, you risk hurting Dart and crushing his development or throwing him to the wolves or whatever, potentially ruining him. But the reward could be that you can change everything right now. And all of a sudden, you beat the Chargers, and you go out there and beat the Saints. Now you got two wins on the board, and with the young phenom that's taken the league by storm with the RPO and his attitude and his chain, all of a sudden, the entire season and feel changes. And if not just about this year, then certainly about next year. That is a realistic possibility from the other side.
It is, but it's a cheap pop. I'm not looking to take a chance with there. So to me, you've got to put both on the table. All right, the one scenario that you just laid out, which is plausible, because I think we all think he's talented. So that's not an unrealistic thought, that he plays, he does well, changes things. What's the flip side? He plays, not a whole lot changes, he's overwhelmed, he regresses, God forbid he gets hurt, the Giants don't stabilize anything, and now it's even worse. To me, that's got to be part of the calculus, and think about this.
There's risk and reward, 100%.
I get it, and I at this point, Sal, I appreciate options. So right. I appreciate you bringing that to the table, just so there's something else to discuss. I get it.
Right.
I really do. I mean that. But to me, what does worry me, and you said something you glossed over, but I want to go back to it, ownership. Because I don't know what John Mara's role is going to be in this here. I hope it's nothing. But do we think that the role, and listen, if I'm talking out of school, then I don't mean to here, but common sense, and also industry innuendo, and the speculation, whatever. But does anybody really think that John Mara didn't have some influence on the retention of Daniel Jones back in the day?
Right.
Okay, so if we believe that, slash know it, however you want to frame it, why do we think he would lay out now when his stadium's being overrun by opposing fans and drowned out by booze?
We don't.
That's terrifying to me.
When you got a head coach that's hanging on by a thread.
Correct.
As it is. I'm just saying, look, however they get there, it does matter to me, because you wouldn't want him meddling. You wouldn't want the owner meddling. But you know that they talk about it. And by the way, if I'm him, I'm at my wit's end. Like, I want to take Saquon Barkley. You didn't only let him go. You let him go to the Eagles. He goes, basically wins the Super Bowl. He's MVP of the league. That's strike. Like, if that's not strike three, it's at the very least a hefty strike two. Daniel Jones. Okay, you let him go. I told you we did everything we could to screw this up. I hired you guys in part to fix Daniel Jones. You went to the playoffs in year one. You couldn't get anything out of him for the next 2 years. He goes to Indianapolis and in 3 weeks is lighting up the league doing things that no quarterback's done before. Three touchdowns, passing, running, no interception, whatever it may be.
Yeah, like, undefeated.
It's unbelievable. So if I'm Mara, I'm like, I must have hired the wrong guys here. And then...
No, it's not the first time he did it.
Understood.
He's pretty much done that for a decade.
Which, by the way, he very well might have. However, you also have to factor in the fans. And the fans want to see Jackson. Like, those are the customers. Now, it's not the right reason, BT. I'm not saying that those are the right reasons to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But where the Giants are at, is it, and I'm just asking the question, you know how my philosophy on developing young quarterbacks would always be, I want them to sit as long as possible. And, like, I don't think there's any harm in that. But if you think about where the Giants are at, there is the possibility that Dart can come in. We've seen it before from young players and have immediate success and change the entire narrative and feel.
Trajectory.
Everything. Literally, everything can be changed.
Okay, so let's work under the slight possibility that that were to happen.
Right.
I think the next question would be, are there enough other components on the Giants team where if Dart comes in and plays amazing, where what you just said could actually possibly come to fruition? And my answer is more no than yes.
But
I don't feel like they're a good quarterback play away from being as relevant as this move might make them. And if that's the case, why run the risk of sabotaging what could be a really good career?
That's why I would tend to not do that. However, I could understand the perspective from Giants ownership thinking, well, it's year four. You told me how great the draft was last year. You're supposed to have a great draft this year. On defense, like you got players that on paper are supposed to be impact players, multiple, not one, not two, like there are more than enough guys out there. Burns, yep. Thibodeau,
yeah,
Carter,
one sack last night. One.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm the owner, great draft this, great draft. You got a stud wide receiver. You got the tight end that you wanted. Everybody was hyping up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the problem here? Obviously, there's a problem. So if I'm the owner, I would be immensely frustrated and saying, here's what you're going to do.
But that's an emotional decision, man.
But BT, at some point, dude, the franchise is...
I know. It's in the toilet, man. It's in the toilet. Listen, we all make emotional decisions. We do. Now, the objective is to try to not make emotional decisions, because when you're emotional, there's generally a lack of clarity, okay? And you can fool yourself and do things to either pacify people or shut people up or whatever, quick fix. But when you really step back, whether it's buying a home or throwing a young quarterback in there, the emotional decision, is that generally the right way to go?
No, 100% not.
So why mess around with this?
Because to me, it's not just emotion. There is also some legitimacy to it, where he's not the only... Well, and again, this is hypothetical. I have no idea what ownership is thinking. I could just imagine his perspective, seeing Barkley leave and Jones and all the examples that we referenced, seeing the fans, Cole for Jackson, like, can't be a good feeling for anybody in the building, including Russell Wilson, including the owner, head coach, to hear the fans chanting, we want Dart. Like, get this starting quarterback off the field, regardless of who it may be, right? I mean, that's where we're at right now. And there is that, Boldy with us said a couple weeks ago, what are we waiting for? Like, we've seen guys come in and have success. And by the way, even if he did come in and have success right away, it doesn't mean that it's guaranteed for the future. Look at C.J. Stroud. Like, the league is weird, but everything can change. There is that possibility that, as bad as it feels right now, that Dart can lift the Giants out of this. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Matt is calling from Hillsboro, New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Hey, good morning, boys. So, two things. One, and you can just let me get to the Jets. If I was playing the Jets, third and long, I'm throwing at Sauce Gardner every time.
It's been terrible. We'll get to the Jets.
But the other point was, let's just get to the inevitable. Football's over. Let's just talk about hot TV moms. I'm going to go with Gloria from Modern Family. Last year with Seinfeld's hot girlfriends. Let's get the hot TV moms. Go.
Okay, and thank you for the call, Matt. And maybe I would suggest calling in the morning. Maybe they'll do more of that. We'll get to that eventually, maybe like on a Wednesday. Well, we did do the power-ups on Thursday. We could do that.
Modern Family, not a bad call, though.
Oh, Sophia Vergara.
That's a good call.
Oh, you like Julie Bowen.
From Happy Gilmore as well.
I would go Sophia Vergara. Like,
listen, both of them work. Both of them work, buddy.
It's not exactly Russell Wilson and Jackson Dart. I mean, there's no risk being taken there.
This sucks.
We'll get to the Jets and Sauce Gardner in a little bit. Come on, let the Giant fans have their piece of the meat here. Neil calling from Weehawken, New Jersey. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Neil.
Hey, guys. As always, thanks for your time.
Yep.
All right, I want to see the quarterback change, but I think Russell Wilson, he did his job in that he got us through two games. Now, not necessarily to Dart, I want to go to Jameis, and here's why. Right now, we have finally gotten functional enough play on the offensive line and backfield to evaluate the rest of the roster. How many times has Wandale Robinson, before this year, been able to be coached on how to run a route with a 15-yard cut. Really, yeah. Hasn't been able to do it. He's been 4 yards at a time.
Because there's not enough time to throw the ball downfield. Yep.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
True.
Right.
True.
This is the first time we can evaluate everything. Can our pass rushers get home in pass rushing situations, right? Let Winston take over until maybe another 4 weeks so that you can really get through, all right, this is what we really have this year. The low-hanging fruit we've fixed, right? Like, you know, I'm just going to pick something random. If Wandale Robinson has a tell on his cuts, we can get that out of him in 6 weeks, right? Now when you throw Jackson Dart in there, he's going to get as much of a supporting cast as he possibly can get this year, and then we can evaluate the rest of the roster.
But why Jameis? Why not just keep Russell Wilson?
Oh, because we've seen enough from Russ. Like, Jameis can't be that much worse.
No, he is. What do you mean? Neil, he actually is. It's not even close, and thank you for the call. Like, I don't understand what Giant fans are saying about Russell Wilson. Yeah, he didn't have a good week one. He had no time to throw the football, okay? Week two, he threw 450 yards. Dropping dimes on deep balls that you haven't seen ever in your life. I mean, a guy did win a Super Bowl before. And then last night, he wasn't very good. Now, that's a good Chiefs defense. To me, it's even more than Russell Wilson. I don't know how the Giants didn't force-feed Malik Nabers more. Like, come on, what are we doing here?
It's one thing if you can't hook up with a guy because they're bracketing him, but to not even try to target him is just...
It's ridiculous.
What are we doing here? It's like having no threes for Steph Curry. Let him shoot.
Ridiculous. But that, to me, is also not just on Russell Wilson. And even if it is, even if you say, okay, well, there's been three games and Russ has been bad two out of those three games, what makes you think Jameis Winston, I love his personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, personality I take over Russ, but he's a pick six machine. Like, Jameis Winston is a backup for a reason. There's a reason he's not even the Giants' backup right now.
Yeah, no, listen, to me, Jameis is really just another layer of protection for Dart. Like, would he be a lot better than Russell Wilson? I don't know. Now, I'll tell you, the sequence last night, I mean, listen, you got 3 minutes and 16 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. You're down 22-9. And obviously, like, you know, with the Jets mounting that ridiculous comeback that fell short. As a Giants fan, you're watching this saying, all right, we're probably not going to win this game. But you had a chance because the Giants still had two timeouts and they had the two-minute warning. And the sequence that you get is first and goal from the four, he airmails one to the tunnel. Second and goal from the 14. Now, that's not his call. They didn't call the play, but it's a design run, goes nowhere. Right, you basically run into five Chiefs right up the gut. Ridiculous. Third and goal at the 10, he sails one out of the end zone. And then fourth and goal, he hits the crossbar. Like, it's not like they weren't even contestable plays. It was so bad. And just so, like, skittish, like, let me just get rid of the ball, that's why I think there could be a conversation to at least let Jameis play a game or two. That was comically bad. That was cartoonishly inept.
I think the primary reason Jameis Winston is here is his personality, his experience, his leadership. They wanted to build a good quarterback room around a young Jackson Dart. You can want Jameis, And then you're going to see Jameis play, and he's going to be like, oh, yeah, there's some great, and then there's some
I understand that. Like, we know what the Jameis experience is. You may as well. You're very you can get a pick six or a 72-yard dot. Right, that right. It's based flip a coin.
It'd be fun, a wild ride. But
Yeah, but at least I just, you know, listen, if Russell played better the first game against the Commanders, maybe I would have a little bit of a different reaction. And I don't think that they're going to bench Russell for Jameis. I'm just saying, before I go to Dart, I'm trying to exhaust everything so I don't ruin the kid. That's my fear. So Yankee fans know the math here. All right, the Jays have lost 4 or 5. Yankees are 2 out. Yankees obviously have 6 to go. If the Yankees go 6-0 and the Jays go 4-2, then the Jays would win the division. If the Yankees go 5-1 and the Jays go 3-3, then Toronto would win the division. So still the math not really in the Yankees' favor. They've made it interesting. They've been playing well. But the Jays probably still a pretty good grip on that division.
Yankees called some. They basically had a win out. Now, we could get more into them a little bit later on, but obviously they're going to be a postseason team, and really that's the primary thing here. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We're talking Giants football to start. You mentioned it, BT. We'll get into the Jets coming up in a little bit. Can't count on much, but you could always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between the L.A. Chargers and the New York Giants. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Steve is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning. First time talking to you guys.
Nice. Appreciate the call. What's up?
Thank you. Listen, just give me a minute here to say what I got to say on the Giants, please, okay? listen, you know, to me, and I get it, I'm just one person, but it doesn't matter who the starting QB is. It doesn't matter who the Giants signed for defense. It doesn't matter that we have two studs and Neighbors and Scat. None of it means a hill of beans if the coaching staff is just not doing what they're supposed to do. It begins and it ends with them. And hopefully soon we see the end of a coach who, in my opinion, okay, became who he is because of Josh Allen. Not the other way around, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We got a defensive coordinator who is not even in the middle of the pack, and an owner who's never been able to sign proven coaches because he still thinks coordinators could turn this around. Look at the facts, guys. Joe Judge was hired because he's a guy who knows a guy. Dable was a guy who coached a guy. And meanwhile, you had Harbaugh out there, and you got John Gruden, who I know is gushing over Jackson Dart right now, gushing over this kid. And we need to stop with mine, okay? Because for the last two games, his team looked like they turned it around. And they've absolutely played much better than we've seen in years. Joe Shane is nothing more than a snake oil salesman who, in my opinion, this guy's a car dealer only with a fancy suit and a tie. I'm a Giant fan for over 47 years, guys. And this is the most pathetic coaching staff that I have ever seen and I ever thought. And I thought Joe Judge held that dubious distinction. And all those fans that scream, they bought this, you know what? I tip my hat to them. Every one of them was good. Because you know what, Mara, if you're listening, which I doubt, you're an owner, bro. Own. Make an executive decision. Stop it. Well, it's not the Giants' way. The Giant fan is tired. Bro, I am sick and tired of watching the same garbage in and out. I've never seen Kansas City Chiefs fans at that stadium than I do Cowboy fans. Guys, I'm still.
Yeah, you got a bad line there, Steve. There. Good stuff.
We feel it, Steve-O. There's no doubt. I mean, listen, this is year 4 for the head coach here, and let's just call for what it is. You take away Wink Martindale. And that 1 year, then when they were together and the Giants did well, and I understand what happened with Daniel Jones that year. Daniel Jones obviously ran the ball well, protected the football, whatever. But without Wink Martindale, I mean, he's an abject failure as the head coach of the Giants. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my issue would be that the offense has been so, so bad. Like, there's different levels to being a bad coach. Guy doesn't have total control, maybe he's not dealing with the media the right way, not developing the players the right way. For a guy who's supposed to be an offensive guy, by the way, they could have scored a lot of points and still been a bad team. That would have been somewhat acceptable or at least understandable. Like, all right, well, he's an offensive guy, can't get the defense together. You know, the special teams have been a disaster. They make it hard to score points in the NFL where the league is set up for the offenses to succeed. And yet consistently for 4 years, the Giants can't score touchdowns. And when they do, the off chance that they do score a touchdown, they can't get the extra point. I mean, my God, it shouldn't be that hard. We've heard the excuses, the weapons here, they don't have this, they don't have that. I mean, it's been 4 years. What I will say, though, is that it's not, to me, this has not been the worst that I've seen. Like, think about what we've seen with McAdoofus, Shermer, Judge. Like, it has just been one. They're all, to me, in my mind, equal disasters.
Yeah, I mean, the one difference, actually, they're not losing 40 to zip anymore at home. That's the progress, right? But they don't score. You know, it's amazing. Like, you think about all the teams in our city, and there's always either a player or a point of reference that we point to that encapsulates a very rough period. Like, you can think about the Mets, you could say Madoff. You can say Yankees, a lot of old-timers say, like, Horace Clark. You've heard the old-timers say that, the Horace Clark era. You know, from a Nick perspective, I mean, it's been most of the century. You could say Phil, you could say Isaiah, and yeah. We all know what that means. Really, from the Giants, historically, it's always been a reference back to the 1970s. Oh, my God. Remember, how bad were the Giants in the 1970s? Comically bad. This is the 1970s. That's what people are missing. I've actually looked at this in years past and looked at the 1970s, the wins, the losses, the point differential. This is the 1970s.
Yeah, it's been ugly for the Giants, so we understand.
I don't think it's ever been as ugly, Sal, as it's been these last X amount of years in Giants history. That's what I think people are kind of glossing over. It's just not, it's not bad relative to the Giants championship standard. It is bad to the worst years of the Giants ever.
Yeah, I mean, and then you throw in the success of Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones elsewhere. That really, we're hitting new lows every year. Hey, maybe there's the savior there with Jackson's Art. Joe is calling from Boston, Mass. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Yeah, I mean, last night is just same stuff, different day. You know, I'm beyond that at this point. It's almost like it doesn't even hurt me anymore. But if we take a step back, and BT, I called you before the draft, is this is an owner issue, because these guys should have been fired. They should have never had a chance this season in Shane and Dable. Because now, if you look, like, Shane's drafts in 2022 and 2023 have one player that is contributing right now in Kayvon Thibodeau. The rest of those players are all busts. And now they've put the organization in a terrible position where these guys are going to be gone at the end of the year. I don't think, I mean, it's, to me, it's almost a guarantee. And now you're going to have Jackson Dart with a new offense and a coach and a GM that didn't draft him. We're going to be in the same position that Dable and Shane were when Daniel Jones was here, where they inherited him and then they signed him to a contract. They're going to be in the same situation. John Mara, to me, does not get enough criticism in this town, because Woody Johnson on the other side, I think, takes a little bit of that spotlight away from him. But he has been awful.
He's been getting knocked around. Joe.
He has. His decision-making is awful.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Last couple of years, you know, John Mara's been absolutely crushed. He really has been. And that's why I said to start the show, like, you know, the Giants have been very good at one thing, and that's complicating things for themselves, where one decision or one indecision leads to downstream a more difficult decision. It's amazing, dude.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some good and some potential in some of the moves that he's made, but then he can't stick with the guys because public pressure, because the results aren't there, and it's just been one disaster after another. We talked about it last year. That was the time to me to cut bait and have a clean start without Shane and Dable, and without a quarterback at that particular point.
Yeah.
They loved the draft last year. They thought they were closer this year. Like, I mean, it feels like it's an impossibility for this team to win a freaking football game.
It is.
Shouldn't be that hard.
No, it is. I can't prove this, but I think, and I'd love to really, truly know this answer, not that we ever will necessarily. Did he bring back Dable because he really, truly believes in him? Or what I tend to believe here, and what I've always surmised, is that he brought him back because he's very aware of the volatility within the coaching ranks. Like, he's very, like, the stability with the Giants, which was something that was always there, has eroded, and they've almost become like the Jets. And in that, you know, higher fire, higher fire, higher fire. And I think he was just staunchly against that happening. So was it belief in Dable or just not wanting to be viewed as a circus?
Well, I'd like to ask them, why didn't they hire Gruden? Why didn't they hire Harbaugh? Why didn't they do whatever they could to get Sean Payton? Like, there were options to go get real head coaches, and they continued to try to get coordinators. I'm not trying to disparage Dable, who was the coach of the year his first year, but, like, come on.
I know.
You go get, this is New York. Go get a known commodity. And they're afraid to do that. And why do you think we're here 4 or 5 years later, 6, 7, 10 years later, whatever it's been, since we've been going through this mess with McAdoo? It's been over 10 years, right?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.